when we had the little girl that was crying, Amy, I believe that was your daughter. Where'd Amy go? Somewhere. My son-in-law leaned over to me and said, "She's crying because she didn't want to leave and miss your sermon." So I'm going with that. And man, you just moved up the food chain, Ryan, on the family, man. You know, as we prayed for Miss Rebecca this morning, I was reminded, for some of y'all who've been at the church several years, when I first got here, I hired a young man named, Jared. Jared's like a boomerang. You throw him away and he just keeps coming back. I don't know. I did find Jared a wife too. But John Fair worked with Jared. We got Jared married, and then John Fair was a college student, and then he found a wife before he left here, Maddie. And then right after John was here, we had Jason, and he found a wife named Aaron. And when Jordan Payne got here, I said, "You know, I'm 3 for 3, buddy. So we're going to have to get you married before I can let you go." And he said, no. And then Rebecca came along. Tim, where's Tim? You're the meanest one of the whole group. I have no idea how that's going to happen, but God is a big God. And he can find Tim Thompson a wife. I know he can, Tim. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to pick it up in verse 12. Now, Paul has written this letter to the church in Ephesus, and he has been talking to them about, and they were Gentiles, and he'd been talking to them about how the difference between when they were Gentiles, didn't have Christ, and were not part of the covenant, and then how through Christ and they had come in and under the covenant. And so we pick it up in verse 12, Ephesians 2:12. "Remember at that time," and he's talking about when they were sinners, "you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. Without hope," what did we talk about last week? Anybody remember? Hope. "So they were without hope and without God in the world. And now something's happened. Something's transformed in them. And now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, and thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, as we just sang, we ask you to come. Come, Holy Spirit. You are welcome here. We ask you to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So we continue the Advent series that I started last week, and the series is called God With Us. So that word Emmanuel that the Scriptures, the Gospels speak of, where the angels proclaim that Mary would have this child, and he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And for the very first time in all existence, God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And he walked among us, and he taught us, and he sacrificially died for us. And we know the complete story of Christ. But this we celebrate this time of year, that season of Advent, where we remember and celebrate that Christ has come at that Christmas morn in the manger. We celebrate that, and we also anticipate his second coming. Because did you know that Jesus does not break promises, and he promised that he would come again? Did you know that? Did you know he's coming again? I don't know about you. I'm ready. Are you ready? God with us. Today's message is got peace. Got peace. I grew up with a guy who was my best friend from seventh grade all the way beyond high school. We were inseparable. I know my mom and dad got tired of the sleepovers and the visits and the phone calls and stuff and all that. But I had this friend, and we've been friends for years, and we'd kind of lost touch. We just weren't hanging out anymore. Quite frankly, my life had taken me in a direction with the Lord, and he just, I mean, he was a good guy and was a believer, but just he wasn't there. Well, through trials in his life these last few months, he has really pressed into the Lord, and God has been doing some miraculous things in his life, and I've reconnected with him, and it's just been this awesome reconnection, and Christ is now, we've had a friendship for years and done all sorts of things together, but now Christ is truly the center of that friendship, and it's taken our relationship to a different level. Well, with all of this that's been going on in his life, I got a text from him this weekend that he was in the hospital, and he's my age. He's in his prime. Jim McDonald, don't say a word. He's my age. I'm 54. He's right in that 54, 55-year-old range, and too young for this. And I got a text from him and said, hey, I'm having stents put in, and I'd appreciate the prayers. And that got my attention. And then not long after that, I got another text from him, the next day. And he said the stents, his body is rejecting the stents, and he's going to have at least a triple bypass. Now, again, this is a guy 54, 55 years old. And I know many of you probably have had bypasses. And it's a medical procedure that's done all the time and successfully and so forth. But it's serious too, right? Anybody had a bypass that knows this is serious and it gets your attention. Well, I went to see him in the hospital Friday, and as I said, our relationship's totally different than it had been. And so we're visiting, and and his family's there, his a couple of his kids and his wife, and we're visiting, and he begins to tell me. He said, you know, when they put me under for the stents, you don't go, they didn't put him all the way under. You're still kind of awake and conscious, but you just really kind of don't care. And he said the whole time that I was under and they were doing the stents, I was praying. It's a big, big statement coming from him. He said, I was praying. And he said, my prayer was this. He said, I wanted to make sure God knew that I didn't want to die. But that he went on to say, but I also told God I was ready. You can't imagine what that meant to me, because this guy's been a friend for years and years. He said, I really stressed that I wasn't ready to go, that I didn't want to go, but if God was ready for me, I was ready for him. What a blessing. You see, Johnny had peace. He had peace that wasn't there just a few months ago. Something changed in him. Something brought him peace in that moment. And I'd ask you to pray. His name is Johnny. I would ask you to pray for Johnny. He's going to have a triple bypass this next week, at least triple bypass. So I want to ask you this morning, are you filled with peace? You got peace? If not, would you like to be filled with peace? You know, Scripture tells us over and over, this second week of Advent, is the word is peace that we celebrate, that Christ brings peace. And throughout the Gospels, we see it. And when the angels were proclaiming this coming of this Emmanuel, this God made flesh, this Savior. And it says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. You see, we misconstrue that Christ came to bring peace to everyone. But it says, on whom his favor rests, people who have placed their faith in him, he gives peace. We understand that that this is, as we know, this is a tough world that we live in. Am I the only one that notices that? I mean, every time I speak to someone who's just had tragedy in their life or who's had diagnosis, medical diagnosis that are not, you know, pleasant to hear, and relationships that are broken and on and on and on, I see that we live in a broken world, but somehow Jesus said, I've come to bring peace on whom my favor rests. And but he also said, in this world you will have trouble. We understand that peace, did you know that our world's never going to be at peace, our world? It's just not until Jesus comes again. There's going to be chaos because sin is still the ruler of this world. He says that we will have trouble. He says that we will have division. So it's kind of contradictory here. It seems, though, until we dig a little deeper. He says in Luke 12, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I came to bring division. Because, see, when you place your faith in Christ, that you've taken a stand. And there's opposition to that stand. Sin and the devil are the primary opposition to that, to the stand that we take in Christ. But because of that, there's division on this earth. There's hatred. It says, Jesus says that we would be hated for his sake. Men will hate you because of me. Does that sound peaceful to you? So what are we talking about as we talk about that he will bring us peace? So I want us to dig a little bit deeper. How we as a people that have placed our trust in Christ can have peace. You can have peace because Jesus is peace. If Jesus dwells inside of you, peace dwells inside of you. And the world, you know, the world can just be chaotic all around us. But Jesus, if he lives inside of us, and Jesus is peace, then what do we have? Peace. My friend, he's laying there and knowing that this is a serious procedure that's going on right now, knowing that my life could end in this world, but he had peace in the midst of that. Ephesians 2 that we just read says, he himself, Jesus, is our peace. Jesus, the foretelling of Jesus in Isaiah 9:6 calls him the Prince of Peace. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I want that for all of us. Christ wants that for us. Those that are in Christ, he wants us to have peace. In John 16, Jesus says, he's speaking to his disciples, and he said, I've told you all these things so that in me you may have peace. In me, in Christ, there's peace. The world is going nuts. I don't think I'm the only one noticing this. The world is going nuts all around us. Just flip on your TV or open your paper. Boot up your computer and just start reading. There's brokenness all around us. But Jesus said, in me, you may have peace. Second thing, you can have peace because Jesus longs to give you peace. That's his heart for us. Peace is his heart for us. He wants us to have peace. He doesn't want us to be caught up in the brokenness of our world. We have to live in this world. We have to survive in this world, but he doesn't want us to be overcome. Scripture calls us overcomers. We overcome the chaos in our world through the peace that's in Christ. Jesus, this is one of my favorite scriptures. I shared it with someone struggling this past week. And I can just see Jesus holding his hands out, saying this, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. On the cross, if there's ever a moment in history that someone should have been, that chaos should have been ruling in somebody's life, it was when Jesus was nailed to the cross. But instead, he had peace and he was wanting to pass it on to even the ones who nailed him there. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. So even on the cross, even the, looking down on the soldiers as they were gambling for his clothes, the Pharisees were smugly saying, see, he's not the Son of God. And he's looking down on them and he's blessing them with peace and forgiveness. The resurrected Jesus in John 20. Now, again, I've said this before, but when you got these disciples, that you got one that betrayed him, one that denied him, and then the rest just kind of scattered, all but John. No one but John was at the foot of the cross in Jesus' moment of need. And so you're thinking, Jesus, is, you know, he's resurrected and he's comes back and he appears. And I mean, I don't know about you. I would have been waiting for the hammer to fall. But Jesus greets them, peace be with you. He longs to give us peace, even when we reject him. Even when we are not faithful to him, he longs to give us peace. Third thing, you can have peace because true peace comes through faith in Christ. Now, we mistake peace to be when everything's calm and smooth and everybody's healthy and all the bills are paid and there's money in the bank and there's food on the table and all our relationships are sound and the job's good, the wife's and the husband's good, the kids are good, everybody's good. That's what we kind of translate that to be, that's peace. Well, if that's peace for us, you might have that much in your life. It's very seldom is all those things in alignment at the same time, especially. So it tells us in Scripture that peace is tied to faith in Christ. Listen to this in Romans 5. It says, therefore, since we have been justified, meaning that we've been made right, we've been justified through faith, because of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's through faith in Christ that we receive peace. And if you've been here, this happened, probably 7 or 8 years ago. So if you've been here a while, you've heard this story. But it just so dramatically demonstrates the difference that Christ makes when it comes to peace. In 2006, July 2006, I was at Duke doing my seminary work. I think in my fourth year at Duke, and I got a call one day that Cheryl and the girls had been in an automobile accident, and a couple of my pastor buddies at school drove me to where the accident was, and I got there, and everybody was okay. Thank the Lord, but it was just kind of one of those fender bender kind of moments, and so they were pulled to the side on this busy highway, and there was the police were working with the people that were, you know, in the vehicles and all, and there was this man sitting over on the guardrail, and so I saw that everybody was okay, and so I kind of went and sat beside him, and I was like, you know, just making small talk, how are you today? And he said, it's pretty rough. It's pretty rough. And I said, what's going on? This man was, I'm guessing, he was in his probably mid-60s or so. And he said, I've been diagnosed with esophageal cancer, and it's not good. It's very advanced, and just, you know, telling me about his ailment and stuff. And through that conversation, and I just want you to know, I didn't have this conversation with him because I was a pastor. I wasn't in pastor mode. I was in Christian mode, okay? I said, are you a Christian? And he kind of, you know, well, I don't, you know, and if it starts with well, no. That means they've probably been to church a few times, but they really haven't placed their trust in Christ. And so I talked with him, and he began to ask me, well, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a pastor. I'm here going to school and everything. And he can tell his eyes kind of perked up, and he began to listen to me. And I said, would you like to know more about Christ? And he said, yeah. And so I said, well, I'm really busy. I'm here, and this is a jam-packed month, and I'm really at school. But I said, I probably could could work in some time to visit with you if you'd like. And so anyway, that led to three or four visits in his home, long and deep visits with he and his wife. And long story short, before the month was out, Jim had accepted Christ and I'd baptized him. And there was, man, it was a great joy to do that. A year later, I got this email from his wife, and it was said I just, or I had emailed her. I'm sorry, I had emailed her, and I said I just learned of Jim's passing. I just wanted you to know that I'm sorry for your loss, and my prayers are with you. As always, I wish you the very best. May God hold you close, Jeff. And she said, she responded the next day and said, thank you, Jeff. I think you would like to know that in his delirium, several days before his death, Jim wrote your name. Wrote your name a couple of times. I asked, he couldn't speak at this point. He said, I asked if he was thinking of you, and he nodded. I know he is with Petey Boy, which they had lost a son now, and that they are both whole and well and happy. Listen to this last sentence. I appreciate the peace of mind you gave Jim. And I responded back and I said, you know, Candy, I didn't give Jim peace. I introduced him to the Prince of Peace. Peace comes, true peace, comes through faith in Christ. Fourth thing, you can have peace because authentic peace transcends our feelings and our circumstances. Did you know that we're a culture that bases so much of our life on feelings? Did you know that? You know, the Hollywood plays it to the hilt. You know, they everything you that we see that's coming at us, is it's all about, you know, feelings. But authentic peace transcends feelings and circumstances. God, Paul, speaking to the church in Philippi, says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. This is a man who had been beaten, had been left for dead. He had been falsely accused. He had had been thrown in prisons and dungeons, held for long periods of time. Was brutalized, beaten, and all sorts of things. And he said, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. He goes on to say, rejoice in the Lord always, in this same letter. I will say it again, rejoice. Did you know that praise is spiritual warfare? If you're feeling hopeless, helpless, depressed, praise God. Praise Him. It's an act of the will. You don't always feel like it. It's an act of the will. Praise God in the circumstances that you find yourself in. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And listen to this. And the peace. So he's saying, if you do these things, if you rejoice, if you're not anxious, but you submit your prayers and petitions to God with thanksgiving, if you do all of that, here's what he says. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So when the world is throwing all sorts of things at us, and when it seems out of control, and when we have no peace to be found, praise Him, and peace will come. Because peace, authentic peace from Him, transcends feelings and circumstances. And finally, you can have peace because the Holy Spirit fills you with peace. When someone accepts Christ, and we did this 2 weeks ago, we baptize, whether it's through sprinkling or immersion, and we baptize and someone accepts Christ and they repent of their sin, they ask Christ to be their Lord and Savior and to come into their heart, and then I always, because Scripture tells us to, and because this is why Scripture tells us to, I always pray a filling of the Holy Spirit. Because we have repented of our sin, and it says, God says Himself through Christ, He says, I will come, and I will not only be with you, but I will be in you. The Holy Spirit fills us with peace. Now listen to Jesus, and this is as He's announcing the coming of the Holy Spirit. In John 14, He says, peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. So he's saying that my peace is different than that peace when all the circumstances and all the feelings align are in a perfect alignment and I have peace. No, that's the world's peace and it's fleeting. My peace transcends those things. My peace comes through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. In Galatians 5, I want you to memorize the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I want you to memorize those because through the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, we have the fruit of the Spirit living inside of us. When we tap into that, when we feed that Spirit inside of us, that's the fruit that comes out of us. Did you know that? And the third one is peace. Most of y'all know the story of when we lost my brother. It's been 14 years ago now. I can't believe it's been that long. But when we were in Lubbock, at the hospital in Lubbock, and when Jay passed away, I remember that it had been a really rough day for the family, and I remember this nurse coming to me and thanking me and the family for the witness that we had been to the staff there, and I was just like, I didn't really understand at the time. What are you talking about? You know, we feel like we've been a mess. And she said, no, I work in this burn unit every day, and I see death every day. And she said, you can always tell a family who puts their faith in Christ as they're going through these things, because there's one of two things going on, tells the story. Peace or panic? Peace or panic? I don't know about you, but I appreciate the peace that comes through Jesus, the Prince of Peace. You know, we celebrate Christmas. And it's a joyful time, and it should be a joyful time. But, you know, Jesus comes as this little baby, and we can all relate to the cuteness of little babies. Just that moment that God became flesh in the form of this little child. And that feels good to celebrate that. But I want you to know, and I think Clay may have maybe said it earlier that in his prayer, that, you know, as we look upon the manger, the cross is always on the horizon. That's why Jesus came. He came in the form of this innocent little babe, but he came to allow that body to grow up so that he could lay it down for us and have his body broken for us. So we come this morning not just remembering the peace that comes with Christ, but the cost of that peace. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That peace came at a cost to our Savior. He broke his body for us. And then he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and me. So as we come this morning to this table, we don't come as perfect people. We come as redeemed, forgiven and redeemed people. So the first step before we come to this table is to repent of our sin, to ask Jesus to forgive us for where we fall short. So I want you to ask you to just bow your head for just a moment, just in your own heart. Just confess where you fall short. Ask the Lord to forgive you. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. If our servers and our praise team and sound team would come forward, please. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the gift of of this bread and this cup. We pray that for us they will be the body and blood of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. We have two serving lines here, two serving lines on the end down here that you'll be given a piece of bread. You can dip the bread into the juice and partake in that way. We have the center where you have the individual cups. If you would like to be served in that manner, you can come to the center aisle. Come at your own leisure. Come. Unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You have the Prince of Peace dwelling inside of you. Go and tell someone. God bless you. We're dismissed.
I exalt.